I can bring Mike Nesbitt in, the Ulster Unionist Party leader, who's, of course, formerly a victims commissioner and currently head of the OFM-DFM committee. Mike Nesbitt, the significance of today, I mean, we heard before the line broke up and John was saying, you know, the battle over 4 years and how significant a day it is. You know, you've heard from many of these victims. How significant and how do you think many of them will be feeling today?
Well, it's a day that they have been waiting for decades in many cases rather than just years, Joel. So I think they will be approaching Banbridge with a sense of anticipation, a sense of hope, and certainly a sense of expectation that finally something will be done for them. So a lot does rest on the shoulders of Sir Anthony Hart and his team, but Sir Anthony has appeared before the committee on a number of occasions and has certainly left me, and I don't think any members of the committee are in any doubt about the values that he will bring to this process. He is a man of integrity and also a man of independence, and that will be very, very useful over the course of the coming months as he leads this inquiry.
And I was trying to get a sense from John as well in terms of those listening who will try to get their head around why some cases can be heard by this inquiry and those cases like Alice, who we just heard from, can't be. Can you put that into some sort of context and explain it for us, Mike Nesbitt?
Well, the proposal that came out of OFM-DFM was to look at institutional abuse. And we have debated that long and hard, and every member of the committee is very conscious that to some extent this is a partial inquiry. And I can put it no more simply than this, Joel. It is highly possible that there will be two people who, as young men or women, were abused on the same day by the same person, but one will not have access to this inquiry because the place where they were abused was not an institution. And we, as I say, we debated this long and hard, but the message that came through consistently and clearly from all the expert witnesses who came to speak to us was, do not stop this process because it is not fully inclusive. Let it go ahead. Let the people who are in the tent of this inquiry have their day, but beware and be mindful of the fact there are others for whom this process does not offer any hope or any comfort.
But given even those circumstances that you've described, does that seem fair to you?
No, it doesn't. To me, personally, it doesn't. But I have to be clear, Joel, the committee has not reached a consensus on this as yet. There are two issues. There's the Magdalen laundries, and we have been told, because we asked the department what they were doing on this, and they told us that they have tasked a senior civil servant to scope how they may address that shortfall, and we still wait to hear back from the department on that issue. The broader issue is people who were maybe abused in their own domestic homes. You know, so you could have, for example, a priest who would abuse Boy A in an institution in the morning, and Boy A has access to Sir Anthony Hart in his inquiry. The same priest could then abuse Boy B in a domestic home in the afternoon, and Boy B has nothing beyond going to the police and the social services. I am deeply uncomfortable with that situation. Other members of the committee have brought up genuine concerns, not least about raising false hopes among those victims who are not currently within the scope of Sir Anthony and his inquiry.
And in terms of what you were outlining in terms of the Magdalen laundries, does that mean that could be included at a later date, or would that be a separate inquiry?
That's being scoped out by this senior official in the Office of the First Minister and Deputy First Minister, Joel. So I don't want to second guess what sort of options that he or she might put before the department. I would say this, though, because I have made the point that we haven't reached consensus on those who are outside the scope of this inquiry. The committee, and I think it's important today, you know, given the beleaguered nature of our devolved administration in the court of public opinion at the moment. The committee's work on bringing forward this inquiry was exemplary in terms of consensual work among the five parties at the committee. I thought everybody was extremely respectful to the victims and survivors who came to talk to us. I think we worked well with the department And the committee brought about important changes, not least in terms of the scope of the inquiry, which originally was going to begin in 1945 with the formation of the Health Service. And we persuaded the department that the right thing to do was to start with the formation of the state. And that's why the starting date is 1922. This means that a few people who originally were outside the scope of the inquiry because it was going to start in 45 are now going to get the comfort of Sir Anthony Hart and his investigation.
I just wanted to ask Alice, because I know, Alice, you're hanging on, and we can maybe let you go. But before you do go, is it a strange sort of feeling for you, or will it be strange? Because I'm sure you have tremendous sympathy and empathy with those who will be telling their stories to this inquiry, and yet there's that frustration for you that you aren't included and won't be able to tell them your story. Will it be difficult for you listening to the news reports of the inquiry?
Oh, yes. I know they wouldn't tell me before I ever went on. I knew that I wouldn't have a say. I had that feeling I wouldn't have a say at all.
Do you feel, I mean, you're in your 70s now. Do you feel you'll ever get a chance to get a semblance of justice or redress? Would it mean anything to you even now, or given that all that has happened, Alice, if there was some sort of inquiry that allowed you to have your say? I mean, is there anything that they could do that would let you bring any sort of closure to what happened to you?
I don't think so. I don't think they'll ever place what they done. I don't think so. I'd probably be dead and gone and they'll never give me justice. That's the way I feel.
Alice, I appreciate you talking to us this morning. Mervyn's in Hollywood this morning. Morning, Mervyn.
Good morning, Joel. How are you?
I'm very well.
Joel, is Mike Nesbitt still there?
He is, yes.
Can I, as an Ora Vice, ask him a question?
Yes, I would have thought so. Yes, going ahead.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mervyn.
How are you? Mike, everybody hope and prays that this sort of an inquiry is going to be straight, is going to be truthful, is going to be open and honest. Mm. But can it be if there's restrictions being put on it?
How do you mean, Mervyn?
Well, it appears to me that some people are getting called up to give evidence, and that lady over there, that lady 2 seconds ago on the phone saying she's not.
But, Mervyn, the point is that this doesn't embrace everybody who was abused.
Right.
It embraces people who were abused while they were in institutions.
Right, right.
And I am uncomfortable that it is a partial inquiry.
Yeah.
But as I say, the committee spent a lot of time looking into these issues. Uh-huh. And we took evidence from a wide range of people who would be expert in this area. And they were consistently saying to us, if you try and stop, or if you try and make it embracive of everybody, all you'll achieve is you'll stop this process. And the people who have been waiting 20, 30, 40 years for justice will be denied because of this. So the advice which we accepted, and all five parties accepted this, was be aware that it doesn't embrace everybody who's been abused, but let it go ahead for the sake of those who are inside the tent of this inquiry. But do something additionally to help those who are not in the tent.
So there could be a process further down the line that could help people like Alice and others who aren't included at this stage?
That's my call, Joel, but that's not me speaking as chair of the committee, because as I've already said, we haven't reached a consensus on that yet, and there are good reasons, not least raising false expectations to be factored in. But I remain deeply uncomfortable that two people who were abused on the same day but the same person could be in positions where one is inside the tent of the Historical Institutional Abuse Inquiry and the other is not. That's not fair.
Yeah, and it's sort of put into stark contrast when you hear from someone like Alice, who, you know, basically has given up and, you know, in her own words this morning, is saying, you know, I'll be dead and buried before, you know, there be ever any sense of justice for me.
Yes, and again, you know, if you look at the kind of timescales here, Joel, we're talking about Sir Anthony reporting in, say, 2016, late. Then the executive would have to take a view on that. So it would be realistically 2017 before there might be a debate on whether there should be another process. So another process mightn't kick off until, say, 2018. and therefore mightn't conclude until 2020 or beyond. That's another 6 years minimum. And for people who were abused that long ago, given the age they are today, there is an expectation that it is too late. And I'm not happy with that. I'm not comfortable.